Your rugby league coverage on SEN starts now. Welcome to NRL Crunch Time.
Yes, it's a Saturday. Don't we love that? And there's a few people up and about. One bloke has just finished his amazing stint with the Commonwealth Games. The other bloke, well, he's blue and gold, got the job done last night. Crunch Time brought to you by Isuzu. The Isuzu D-Max is born to tow. You can call 1300 01 1170. As you know, Alex Asil puts in hours and hours and hours to get this rundown, and we don't pay any of attention to it. You text in, you call in, we get distracted, we go with you. Tweet us at 1170 SEN is a way to do that. We welcome our listeners across the SEN network. I feel like I'm in a rugby league sheds here. There's tape. What the hell is tape?
What?
Rugby league tape doing in here? It's all over my feet. But anyway, we welcome our listeners across the SEN network, including 1170 SEN in Sydney, 693 SENQ in Queensland, and 1620 AM SEN on the Gold Coast, as well as those listening via the SEN app and through the podcast. Belatedly, we welcome you. Adrian Prasenko. He is the Sydney Morning Herald Chief Rugby League Reporter, two-time Walkley Award winner, 7 days from doing a job on himself, 6 days from having a major hangover, I would have thought. Adrian Prasenko, how are you?
Very well. I wasn't very well on Sunday morning. I was walking to the scrum very slowly. Oh. I wasn't in a rush.
Wait, what happened? I missed this.
No, so on Saturday night, we celebrated my wife's birthday.
Yeah.
And to do so, we had a wine consultant come in.
Oh,
and the whole idea
that's
was...
Right.
That we'd be, you know, we'd be going around the world. He'd take us on a journey. So we were going to Sip Argentina.
And spit.
Yeah. Oh, there was no spittoon. there was no spitting.
Just so guzzling.
Was, you know, we'd go to a bit of Argentinian Malbec.
Yeah,
that's
so cool.
And then we'd go to Italy and France and
whatever
else.
Love that.
Which was fantastic. And late in the night, it was the last thing I remember was, you know, having cigars at about 3 a.m.
Oh.
A big, dirty stogie. Rocky Patel, which,
So you went around the world tour with wine and ended up in Cuba at the end of the night.
That's right. Well, he had the wine consultant
April
on the Saturday. And you needed a life consultant on the Sunday.
The worst thing was I had to get my son to soccer early the next day as well.
Oh, yuck.
He got roomed 5-1.
It was a
long day having to clean up sort of after that.
Why is a wine hangover different? They hurt me, wine hangovers.
100%.
There's something in the grapes.
And the other thing is, so this is a trap. And by the way, James Magnusson, good afternoon to you.
Welcome.
I've ascertained that. I was only thinking this week, whenever the following day, 24 hours becomes about 37, which means a major hangover and the clock for some reason starts to go real slow.
Yeah.
Wine.
Yeah.
And I think because you start on the beers and you maintain the same pace with the wine. That's what I reckon it is.
There's something in a grape that flicks me as well and makes me silly.
Yep.
I get silly drunk on wine.
Yep.
My missus gets very annoyed with me because I start, you know, being a bit rough with other guys, you know, wrestling and jumping around and being loud. So wine.
And the preservatives in it as well and all that sort of stuff. And especially because you don't just do one wine, like you go through the whole spectrum as well. So you start with the whites and then you get the rosés, and then you get the headache. Cab Sav, Merlot, the whole thing, and
was that a surprise party?
No, it was. It had been planned.
It's a pretty good present, though. That's a good present.
Yeah, so it was. As I said, it started off very sophisticated, the wine and cheese and all that. And by the end of it, we're all tipped beyond the horizontal.
Turned rugby league drunk.
Exactly. There's always the bell curve, right? So there's majority of the party might have left around midnight. But there's about one or two stick right
there
on.
There were about three strugglers that were having Rocky Patels and just, you know, cursing me the next day.
Oh, that's good.
Gee, we've all been there that next day. Well, you haven't yet got children, Missile, but when you've got commitments with children the day after a big night out, it is just acupuncture to the eyeballs.
No good.
How hard is it, Adrian?
It's just another alarm clock, isn't it? Because they've got things that you've got to take them to, either to school or to sport or, it's just...
And if they're bringing the energy and you're not...
You fast forward like 3 a.m. when he's having the Cuban cigar and life... life is just, you're on top of the world.
Yeah.
You've got all the answers in life.
Yeah.
And then that alarm goes off. And the head noise just comes gushing in, doesn't it?
It was a bit like the missile. Like I saw that photo of him inverted, shirtless. That was us at about 3 a.m.
I tell you what,
that's the best.
That's the ideal time to drop a positive rat test, I reckon, to say I'm out of action. How are you, Maestro?
I don't know what day it is, yeah. Joel. It's yeah. been just nonstop. You just get your head down in these games, and it's funnier for this one because no one else has their head down for these games. It's sort of like this fun thing that maybe you flick on for an hour, yeah. whereas I'm taking it intensely and writing notes and figuring yeah. out who's playing each other in the lawn bowls, yeah. Which has been a highlight of the week.
Yeah. We've ended up last night, Joel, so swimming's over. Yes. I'm the Kong Games expert,
yes.
and swimming's over. So out of my comfort zone. And last night, the athletics finished quite early. So we're into badminton, what else? Beach volleyball beach in a car park in Birmingham.
Oh.
We're getting into some weird areas.
Yeah.
So it pretty much turned into 4 hours of village and after party stories on air with me. And Alex gets all the uncut versions.
So where did you guys
well.
Finish up?
We finished up at 11.
Last night?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then I was sort of home in bed by 12-ish, up at 5 a.m. to open the gym today.
Today was the public opening.
Yeah, so I've come from the gym today.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
How'd it go?
Good fun. Yeah, really good fun.
Yeah.
Good vibes, good people. Had a lot of fun. So
well done, mate.
Thank you.
Well done. The entrepreneur over here. So there you go. Plenty to talk about. We have a stack to talk about. But as we like to do, you lead the charge. 0457 736 736. Cameron Munster was awesome yesterday. Parramatta, they bounced back. It was very, very pleasing for Jacob Arthur, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that game was there to be won. And you would have thought that without Mitchell Moses, up against DCE, especially when they had a lead early in the second half, I just felt Manly would get it, go on with it. But, you know, when they brought the props back, Regan Campbell-Gillard and Junior Paulo, I was screaming at the TV. It's like, because they gave him a big rest, Junior.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are we waiting for until we're like 30 behind? Like, but as soon as they came on, they started to dominate, made metres up the middle, and, you know, they were just too good.
Miss, I'm going to make a grand statement here. Mm. I believe that the game is as well placed as ever to have a team outside the four win the comp.
Oh, yeah.
As ever. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but you're going to have teams like the Roosters charging if they don't make the four.
Yeah.
Parramatta, who's got two scalps over Penrith. South with Latrell sprouting wings. Maybe a Canberra sneak in. I just got a feeling that there's a big chance this year that we could see an outside top four team go very close.
Well, it seems like at the exact same time as some of those sides in the bottom half of the top eight have caught light, some of the teams in that top four have kind of fallen out of form. So at the same time as Melbourne has dropped off a bit, Penrith have lost their halves, Cowboys haven't looked great the last couple of weeks, and now Broncos have dropped out of that four. The same time as that's happened, the Roosters have caught a light, Souths have caught a light, and Parra have had a couple of massive wins. So it's exciting. As a fan who's not going to have a team in the top eight, it's exciting now to watch because I'm not certain that Penrith will win.
There was a real inevitability last year about what was going to happen.
Yeah. Big
there?
Time. Yeah.
And it killed interest off very early. And there were a lot of dead games too. Like the eight was pretty cut and dried except for that sort of last spot till quite late in the piece. So yeah, it's good times to be a rugby league fan.
And the shape of the ladder, you're not going to have deadwood. There's not going to be if somebody turns into cannon fodder, they're not going to make it.
Yeah.
There's going to be a team on a run like a Canberra who would have gone in with eight straight wins or something. There's not going to be a cannon fodder team, I don't believe, in this competition for the finals.
The Roosters are looking really good, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like it just feels like I always thought that they timed their run really well, and it's happened a little bit later than probably everyone expected, but they're starting to get it all together.
I wouldn't be surprised if Roosters were in the grand final at all. The last couple of weeks, it started to click. That's the first time I've seen Keary, Walker and Radley play well together.
Mm. Lindsay Collins to come back.
Yeah, they've always looked awkward, but the other day it just started clicking and
done. And the Whisperer's back.
Oh, the Whisperer.
Do you reckon he's been there all along and he just doesn't like the media when they're losing? So he just pops up. I've never seen him say, we're in a slump and the Whisperer's going to get them out.
No.
We've won three games on the trot. Now the Whisperer's appeared.
A few weeks ago, he was spotted in the coach's box and it was no coincidence. It was just in town. There's nothing to it. And all of a sudden, they started on their winning run.
Yeah.
Whose
ears the Whisperer in? Who wrote the story about the Whisperer?
Oh, that's a very good point.
He's in someone's ear.
I've done a few stories with the Whisperer.
Yeah, what's he like?
Oh, like really out there, but in a good way. Like, just looks at things totally differently. And you sort of think, well, it must be, there's something in it or whatever else. But almost every team that he's been with has had success at some stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of the things that he does are well out of the box.
So
well
I've got my own whisperer. Adrian.
Yes. Yeah, oh, that's right.
We've had him on the show. Yeah.
Who's that?
He stays a lot more low-key than that whisperer.
Yeah.
But it's John Novak, so he's at the Seagulls now.
And
he's followed Dez around, and wherever Dez has gone, you know, he gets the plaudits for the success, but John's been there with him. And I've been speaking with John in this past week, and he's had probably the busiest time of his career because he's trying to mend a change room at the moment.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's, with his job as the head of mindset and, you know, team morale, basically, he's been the busiest man in Sydney.
He's terrific. And he, you know, his whole concept is the boomerang effect as well. And
Put out positivity, get it back.
Yeah. And it's, I'm really fascinated by these sort of Svengali figures that are in the game. the whisperers and gurus. Another one is, you know, Joe Wiebe. So he's actually, it's interesting because he has sort of aligned himself with the management group as well. So a lot of players have started to come on board, like Tedesco's and Daly Cherry Evans.
Yeah.
But he's another one that, you know, has got this effect on guys.
Yeah. And John was good, wasn't he?
So I was going to say, John came on, and I'm probably more John, and each to their own, and this is what makes this world so beautiful. Yep. So many very different views. Bradley Stubbs clearly has, what he does for some people clearly works, and the evidence is there. I don't one bit buy into it personally. If I was a player, I don't personally buy into it. And I thought to myself, having sort of known Trent Robinson when he was a bit younger and how sharp he is, I don't even know if he would buy into it. But that's how smart Trent Robinson is. It's not actually about whether he buys into it or he doesn't.
The players.
Yes. So if he believes that the playing group buys into it, and I actually think that's, see, this is where he's probably such a genius, is because I don't believe in it, I probably wouldn't expose it to my group. And I'm not saying he doesn't believe in it, but my guess is he may not. But he goes, okay, it doesn't matter if I believe in it. Yep. If my team believe into it, we're game on.
It's all you need.
It's all you need.
Yeah.
Because I remember speaking to John Novak and I said, what was it like? So you've gone up and approached Dez. And this is a really interesting guy. Like, he was literally on aerobics Oz style in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah. So fought Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, and he fought Dolph Lundgren and beat him at mixed martial arts.
Yeah.
It's actually a wild story.
It's an unbelievable guy. And I said, so you go up to Dez Hasler and you introduce yourself, and you, like, Dez doesn't suffer fools, right? Like, you've got to come and you know, impress him straight away. And I said, what was your first sentence? What did you say to him? And he's rocked up and he said, what we have in common, Dez, is that every athlete we've worked with needs an intense application to detail.
Wow.
And Dez said, you're my man.
How good is that?
And he was already talking Dez's language, and he'd obviously done his research and knew who we, you know, what Dez was all about.
I wouldn't be surprised. He didn't say this to me. So he writes most of Dez's speeches, halftime, full time, positive result, negative result. He's the guy that writes Dez's speeches to keep the players in the right frame of mind. When Dez came out and did that press conference the other day, I was watching it and I was going, I wouldn't be surprised here. There's a
fingerprints
bit of,
all over it.
Yeah, I think so.
Incorrect. Yeah. So the guy who actually wrote that speech is Dirk Melton. So he's the former Sydney FC chief executive. He was Todd Greenberg's right-hand man when he was at the Bulldogs. So Dirk's a really interesting guy. He's worked with the New South Wales Rugby League again, suffers from, you know, has autism, really great thinker, has done a PhD. And Dez has done a couple of big speeches, and one of them was around Adam Fanua-Blake when he, you know, said that, you know, called someone the R word. And Dez came out and he gave a really interesting in-depth speech.
Yeah.
So Dirk Melton wrote that. And as soon as Dez started speaking about the latest issue about the Manly 7 and the prior jersey, within about 20 seconds I turned to someone and said, Dirk Melton has written this.
Yeah, wow.
And he wrote every part of that speech except the reference to himself, because he talked about, you know, someone who's a friend of mine who's got autism and you know, talking about his neurodiversity.
Wow.
Yes.
And I rang Dirk and I said, mate, that was you, wasn't it? He said, yeah, it was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
isn't that smart from Dez?
Smart from him.
Smart from Adrian, 100%. Yep. But smart from Dez to kind of have the foresight that, I need help on this.
Yep.
Not many coaches would do that. not many at all. They'd be too proud.
Yep.
They'd think they could handle that situation themselves. And I thought Dez came out of that looking pretty damn good.
That's where I can come up with some great ideas around the game and all those sorts of things, as a lot of people can. But I don't have that ability like a Dez or a Robbo to let go. You know, I'd have to almost micromanage the whole thing. I reckon, you know, being able to just go, no, that's not my forte and you do this, and Wayne seems to do that good and Craig seems to do that good. And I think people in business, full stop, who are, you've got to let go and just trust in other people, don't you?
The best managers are the ones who aren't afraid to have really smart men around them men and women. Like, they want, they're not intimidated by them. They're not going to, like, white at me for the job. Like, the more resources that you have that are, you know, capable, the better the result for everyone. They make everyone look better.
Yep. Who is Dez's assistant coach? Has there been a one consistent person?
There's a guy who's really highly rated there called Stephen Hales.
Yep.
So for a lot of years, he looked after Blacktown.
Yeah.
And a lot of the young guys that have come through under him.
School teacher at one of the sports highs, wasn't he?
Westfields, I believe. Yeah. So there are, the feeling is with some, and Bozo was a big supporter of Halsey's and basically said, like, when Dez is ready to move on, whenever that will be, this is the guy that you want.
Yeah.
Just watching the other night, Manly, do you have any mail on Josh Schuster?
Well, I think that's
become a bit of a strange...
Joey spoke about it. He's always been very glowing in his praise in terms of his ability and talent. But, you know, just recently he said, like, he's got to get fitter. And that's obviously the one thing that's holding him back.
Yeah.
Because he's got all the skills. The feeling is that when Kieran Foran leaves, he's going to play alongside Daly Cherry Evans in the halves. But, you know, that's a pretty harsh wake-up call.
But he'd have to shed, 10 kilos to play in the halves plus?
Yeah, but even, look, to be honest, rugby league can fall in love with a player really quickly. And I'm happy to say, and it's not potting Schuster, I've never been on the Schuster bandwagon. Okay. I haven't yet seen it, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, he can do a flick pass and, you know.
A no-looker.
Oh, man, they fell in love with Lomax for the same thing.
Yeah.
You got to keep turning up. And the thing that I question is those players, which maybe he has been in this situation, they've dominated the juniors their whole life. They've never really. Maybe you see it with Fifita. You've never had to really rip in for 80 minutes a game. And, you know, it takes a long time to develop these principles. And I just wonder whether sometimes it is who you are. Like, are we ever going to see Fifita playing big minutes and chasing after every 1%er? And are we going to do the same with Schuster? I'm not personally certain of that.
So you think it's a big gamble letting Foran go?
No, not a big gamble letting him go, but I'm not locking him in with a...
Yeah, there's another young half at Manly, isn't there?
He's the main guy. Yeah, I think he can be anything, but it's obviously, you know, how he turns up and what sort of a preseason he has next year. But I think he's got all the skills. He's shown glimpses of his talent. Like, he has dominated junior grades, and there are a lot of clubs that wanted to get him when he was on the market.
I've always thought, as an athlete, and, you know, it's different in rugby league for different positions, but your physical, the shape you're in, that you present yourself in, is a big reflection on your attitude towards your sport, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If you're training, like Schuster would be training, 20 hours a week?
Yeah.
We're in round 22, he's been training 20 hours a week now. I know he had an injury pre-season, but if you can't get in shape, training that much, having that many support staff around you,
diet, everything.
I think it shows a lack of commitment to what you're doing.
Totally agree. And we've seen with Bryce Cartwright's trying to do his best at Parramatta, but he's another one who starred through the juniors for Fifita, Schuster. And it's not a shot on them, and it's not their fault that they were so good as kids. Owen Craigie, you know, like Royston Lightning was one of the greatest kids ever to come through, you know, but sadly we didn't see the very best of him. Sometimes being so, so gifted and so dominant as a kid, I think it actually comes back to haunt you a little bit as you get older. Whereas in your sport, James, there's no hiding. There's no discretionary comments as far as the time's a time.
Yeah, it's very objective.
And if your time starts to regress, you quickly know that, okay, there's no one picking teams here who I need to endear.
Yeah,
it's just what it is.
Yeah.
You would think too that if there's a system that Schuster's going to be successful in, it would be Manly. You've got Des Hasler, you've got Donny Singe, you've got John Novak and all the resources that we've just talked about.
Yeah.
So you would think that they would flog him into shape, wouldn't you?
Mm. Yeah, I know John's been working with him a lot. He's definitely a work in progress, though. I think attitude is a big thing there.
Well, clearly Des is showing that. The fact that he's not... And it's not a pile on for Schuster. I just think typically with those kids who are so dominant.
Yeah.
I went and watched the under-12s state trials, and there was a young kid who was the best kid there, and he was bigger than everyone else.
Mm.
But he was, you could see the kid was a worker. Yes, he had the advantage in the physical attributes, but he was still that 1% worker.
Yeah.
So that's going to stay with that kid probably forever. And I won't say his name to put the pressure on him, but I've got absolutely no doubt we end up seeing this kid. No doubt.
That's been the impressive thing, I think, about Suwali, particularly this past couple of months, is he does the tough stuff, which to look at him, you'd think, maybe he's, you know, a bit of a pretty boy and we'll, you know, shirk some of that tougher workload, but he does the toughest carries. He puts the solidest hits on the biggest players. He's everything that the Roosters could want him to be.
Heaps of texts coming through, boys. This one from Joel Schuster is another Fleddy Mateo. Needs a good team around him to cover his mistakes. John from the entrance. Well, Fleddy was a young gun coming through.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, they can, at their very best, these type of gifted kids who come through, they can certainly hit their straps, as Fleddy Mateo did.
The other one, Sugar, they reckon that... So a lot of those guys went to Westfield Sports High, so Jared Hayne, Fleddy Mateo, I think, was there. They reckon the best out of all of them was Christian Inu.
Really?
Like that?
I've heard that.
He would rock up, say it was a school athletics carnival day. He literally didn't have the proper shoes on or whatever else, and one of the teachers would egg him on and go, mate, just have a go. And he'd do it just... put someone else's shoes on and like win the high jump by 10 centimetres. And like physically, in terms of skill, all of the whole package, talent, he was better than Hayne or anyone.
Wow. And that's the story. That's what comes through. And that's what I say with my kids, not just my kids, but kids I coach, etc., that making rep teams doesn't make or break you, whether you miss or even if you get picked in these teams.
We had a big thing in swimming was the early developer because it's pure physicality. Yeah. So the early developer kicks on really well. So I remember coming down to Sydney for my first nationals. I think I was 14 and swam the heat and made it into the final. One of these guys in the heat, he's got all this stubble on his face and he's got a hairy chest.
Yeah.
And I go back and say to mum and dad, this bloke I was just racing had a hairy chest. Then he comes back for the final that night, shaved down, no chest hair, no face hair, smashes everyone, absolutely dominates. And of course, you know, he's the next Thorpey or whatever. Never saw of him after sort of 16, 17, because as everyone became the same size, his work ethic didn't match those smaller guys that have been plugging away trying to keep up with him.
That's right.
And when everyone evened up in size, he was no longer anywhere to be seen.
And that's why Swali's so impressive, because physically he developed so much earlier than all of the other kids.
Yep.
So it was men versus boys stuff, like playing, you know, GPS rugby. But he has continued on, and as you said, all of the what he does defensively, off the ball, loves the tough carry.
Yeah.
So he's maximising all of his talent.
I've shared this story many, many times where... playing at Port Macquarie Sharks, we would play the Taree Red Rovers, and they had three star kids, you know, really, really good players and early developers, right? So they would beat us in the grand final typically. And there was another kid, I remember Barry Sprag, who was the coach of our team, but also coach of, and I vividly remember where I was at the time, he was picking the Group 3 team.
Yeah, okay.
And we weren't a strong team.
I played with Clint Sprag. I wonder if it was...
Probably a relative, but Barry Sprag.
Yeah.
And he's picking the rep team, and I'm the halfback and captain, right?
Yeah.
And he said, oh, I've got one more spot. Who do we go? And I said, I reckon the young sort of centre at Taree is worth putting in, you know? So he puts him on the bench, and this is under 16s, right?
Yeah.
And so this kid, therefore, I've mentioned the top three for Taree Red Rovers. He's not in the top three.
Yeah.
Danny Badiris. Couldn't even be in the top. Well, when I say couldn't be, perceptionally for all of us anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
There were three other kids that we were petrified of. No mention of Danny Badiris.
Yeah, yeah.
Sneaks into our Group 3 team at under 16s.
Yeah.
And ends up having a better career than... well, one of the great careers in New South Wales and Australia.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just...
Is he a small kid?
Yeah.
Skinny?
Yeah, just... average, a little bit low, but average perhaps. Plenty of text messages coming through. We'll get to those as well. This one, Daz says, does Bradman Best fall in the same category? Potentially. That's potentially, definitely something you need to keep an eye on for those players who have made it on sheer athleticism and not necessarily having to work hard all the time. Yes, that can absolutely be a concern there. 1300 01 1170.
Caelan Ponga would have been one of those guys who's just, you hate, he's good at everything, like a golf, AFL, you know, swimming, running, athletics, rugby, could have done absolutely anything. Like, he's obviously kicked on and made the most of all of that incredible talent.
But you also see kids like that, just because you dominate doesn't mean you're not going to make it. There are some kids. There's a kid I'm seeing coming through at the moment. I won't embarrass him. He, for me, is an absolute certain first grader. He's such a competitor. He's clearly the best player, but he's such a competitor. Yeah. You know, like, he's got to be in every play. And I reckon Caelan might have been one of those kids too.
Yeah.
Absolute star, but absolute competitor. 1300 01 1170 is the way to have your say. This is Saturday Crunch Time. Crunch Time back tomorrow as well. So too, the team at Hello Sport from midday, brought to you by Isuzu. The Isuzu D-Max is born to tow. Round 21 is West Tigers Women in League round, and they celebrate James Tarmo's 300th game when they take on the Newcastle Knights at Campbelltown Sports Stadium. Be part of the action as the West Tigers acknowledge their Women in League in the final game at Campbelltown for 2022. Get along to congratulate Jimmy Tarmo, having achieved 300 games in the NRL. Sunday, August, which is tomorrow, kickoff is 4 p.m, so don't miss out. Nothing beats being there. Get your tickets at ticketek.com.au. Yeah, brought to you by Isuzu. The Isuzu MUX is born to tow. Now, the missile didn't see last night's game because full-born with the Commonwealth game commitments, but you watched Dylan Brown just slide through. You went, wow, that must have been a good game. Eagles beaten and probably their season over. The Eels 36, Seagulls 20. Tell you what, Adrian, was it a dominant first 20 for Parramatta, dominant second 20 of the first half for Manly, and you thought, okay, well, Manly going to win this, but then it just all fell apart.
It was a strange game in the way it ebbed and flowed, didn't it? Like, one team would have momentum and then give it up, and there are a couple of constants there. I thought Sean Lane was outstanding, wasn't he? Like, just, so rangy, and he's got that. We talked about Dylan Brown. He's got a wonderful understanding with Dylan, both defensively and with the ball. They work beautifully in tandem together. And the Parramatta props were the difference ultimately. When they came back for their final stint, you know, Reg finished up with 170 metres, Paulo 124, and pretty much all of the Parramatta forwards ran for 100 metres or more.
Would Mal have the same theory around Campbell Gillard and Panthers players for the Australian squad, do you think?
Oh, no, I think he's even gone on record as saying he's someone that I would consider, despite the fact.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, you know, he didn't really get much of a look in.
Jacob Saifidi still can't make the starting side at Newcastle.
Yeah,
but was picked over Campbell Gillard, who, in my opinion, is one of our premier props.
Yeah, and they work so well in tandem together. That 1-2 punch with Junior Bolo. So, a bit surprising that they didn't get. that Rich didn't get more of a run.
Well, Regan Campbell-Gillard, he's the best front rower in his family. Jacob's not. Dez says we've got to win the next four from four to make the finals. Can they do that? Okay, that's a question. Can they do it?
Who have we got?
No.
The answer is they can. I don't think they will, but they could. So they've got the Titans away.
Winnable.
I'll leave the round 23 one for last.
Okay.
They've got the Raiders away.
Tough, but winnable.
They've got the Bulldogs away.
That'll bring them undone. No, yeah, look, they're a chance there.
Okay. Round 23, at home, it'll be a sellout. Sharks.
Sharkies.
Ooh.
And that, you would think that would be a Saturday night as well, I think.
It's a Saturday 5:30 game.
If they win those four, they will be coming into the finals red hot.
And with somebody maybe up their sleeve too, if they were to do that.
Is that definite?
If you're referring to their fullback who's been warming the Four Pines for a while, look, I think that's a snowflake's chance.
Is it?
Will he be in the World Cup?
Again, it's an interesting question because Mao's going to have to make a similar decision on Caelan Ponga. So my email is, so Caelan Ponga's seen a neuro psych or whatever, who's done all of the work on him, a guy called Professor Chris Levi.
Yeah.
And I spoke to him yesterday and said, well, you know, what's the lay of the land? And he said, I don't want to go into specifics with Caelan, but someone who's had as many head knocks as him, generally it's 6 to 8 weeks. So that would basically rule him out for the season. And I said, well, what about beyond that? I mean, you've got an extra bit of recovery time. He said, well, anything over and above that is considered a fairly conservative recovery time.
Right.
So there's no reason, if he doesn't have any post-concussive symptoms, that he couldn't be chosen by Mal. So obviously match fitness will be an issue. Mm. But, I mean, he's a pretty special talent. And a lot of the guys, particularly in the outside backs, are thinking about, you know, Pacific Islander representation.
Yeah.
So whether it be for, you know, Cook Islands, Samoa, Tonga.
He'd be a depth pick at least.
Yeah.
Yep.
Would you pick him?
Being selfish as an Australian fan, yes. But if I was Kalen and if I was the Knights, I wouldn't be playing. There's too much at risk. Way too much. It's a long life.
Yeah. And rugby league, honestly. You know what happened, right? This is the very first time it dawned on me. So I'd grow up and every barbecue I went, the very first question, you may have got this for swimming, my family, uncles and aunties, they'd say, oh, how's the footy going? How's the footy going? That's pretty much the only thing I got asked.
Yeah, same.
So you were defined by this game and then you played, you know, ultimately played first grade. And I got on a plane to London and I just signed to go over there and play over in England. And it was the very first time I looked around on the plane and I thought, I've lived my whole life thinking the whole world gives a rat's about rugby league. And I got on this plane and I thought, no, they actually don't.
Yeah.
There's so much outside of, but we get caught, and players playing now, you get caught in this bubble, you know, and it's an easy trap to fall in.
We're all guilty of it, aren't we?
Yeah.
I mean, even like I get beat on a story and it's like, it's the end of the world. And it's like, you know what, I'm not curing cancer. No. Like, you know, life will go on.
This is a really pertinent example. And it's just happened at the Commonwealth Games. So Kyle Chalmers had the coverage around the love triangle and all that. Yeah. And he really struggled with it. And I spoke to him during the week and kind of said, mate, I know it probably feels like a huge story for you right now because you're in the eye of the storm. But back here, it's not that big of a deal. And certainly no one's talking about you that negatively. It's just people are making an observation. And that's kind of it. It's not this huge scandal that you might think it is. But at the time when he's in that, he thinks the world's closing in on him and it's the biggest thing in the world.
Yeah.
When really there's, you know, a couple of journalists writing a few bits and pieces, but outside of that and outside of Australia, nobody's thinking about it.
That's right.
It's so strange though, because it becomes your world and it engulfs you.
Is it sort of hard too when you're in the eye of the storm in that you sort of want to be the man as well? Like you want people talking about you, but then when they're not, you sort of upset. It's sort of you want it both ways.
Oh, it's hard. And the other thing about being in the eye of that storm is when you're in a village, a Comm Games village or an Olympic village, you are living in it and surrounded by it. So you can't have any little escape. Like you can't, if I was, you know, struggling with a story or something and I step away and go to the beach or something, you have a look around and you go, there's other things going on. When you're stuck in a village, you're living and sleeping and eating with those same athletes and it really does kind of close in on you a bit.
I can't name the person, obviously, but I had a coffee with a bloke, right, and who was a very, very big name in media, basically, and he'd had a bit of an issue, and it was a very public issue. And I remember saying to him, mate, how many times you've thought about Oprah Winfrey today, you know? Like, she's a massive name, you know, massive. He goes, oh, not at all, you know? I said, well, mate, reality is, and even the front page of a paper, which is, if you're on the front page of the paper, it's either really good or really bad, right?
Oh, yeah.
But the reality is people pick up the paper and the moment they've read it, whoop-de-doo, turn the page. And in the moment they turn that page, their life literally moves on. And I said to this guy, I said, mate, you're up and about when you were sort of conquering everything and you're probably feeling like you're the king of the castle. But in reality, no one actually cares. You know, everyone's so consumed. 95% of my life is spent thinking about myself and my family. And, you know, that means that the rest of the 8 billion people in the world have taken up the other 5%, right?
Yeah.
So when you thought you were going really, really, really good, no one gives a rat's. And equally, when you think there's a magnifying glass by the whole world on you and things are going really, really bad, no one also gives a rat's.
Yeah.
You know, and even people on Twitter, for example. So if I've ever been bagged on Twitter, which happens and whatever else, the moment
Stop
somebody...
tweeting about him.
Yeah, but the moment, the reality is the moment somebody has pressed send...
They've forgotten it.
They have forgotten it. But the person who's receipt of it, they're wearing it the whole day.
Yeah. You know what that is? That's wisdom. Mm-hmm. And it comes with age and experience and something that, you know, you try and tell a young athlete about, but until they have a bit of life perspective, it's so hard, really hard.
It's also, I guess, your makeup. Like, I don't know, is Kyle Chalmers the sort of guy that would read that stuff and use that to motivate him and amp him up? Was that something that you did during your own career?
I didn't read things. I read at things all. A little bit at the start when they were positive. Yeah. And when the tide turned at different times, I realised, okay, good or bad, you know what? It's a bigger distraction when people are writing nice things or really pumping up your tyres, because you start believing it and you start going, yeah, I can't be beaten. You know, you know what? Paul Kent's right. I am the best. I can't be beaten. And you read that too much and it's actually more destructive than a few people saying you suck or you're useless. The you sucks or you're useless, you sometimes think I'll prove you wrong. Mm. The you're the best, you can't be beaten. That's pretty damaging. But Kyle does. He reads everything.
Yeah.
Everything that's written. I wouldn't even be surprised if there was Google alerts on his phone.
Yeah.
Because he takes it to heart. He's, you know, wears his heart on his sleeve and takes that stuff pretty tough.
If you're running out for a game of football and the coach says something to fire you up, I mean, I'd imagine that would only last for 3 minutes and then if that, and then fatigue would set in and you don't even think about that.
No.
Is that, it's a sugar hit, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah. The siege mentality, I've used it in swimming before, you know, it's us against the world. Let's prove everyone wrong. Let's, you know, do it against all odds. That mentality, it works super well for me, for one big meet or one campaign. And then it's done. So we went into a World Champs once after London and said, it's us against the world. Let's prove that you're still the best. Get through that World Champs. Win the World Champs. The moment I finished the race, there was no excitement. I wasn't happy. Mm. I wasn't elated. It was just pure relief.
Yeah,
that was the only feeling, was relief. And then we tried to push that again across another 6 months. And I just went, I'm out of energy.
Yeah.
I can't cop this negativity and trying to, you know, be combative with the rest of the world. And I think that's where Kyle's used it once. It worked. He did the big shush at the end of the race. Love that. Worked. But that can't go again. He can't use that for 2 years into Paris because he will burn out. And it's the same in rugby league. Like, Des would have circled the wagons last weekend against the Roosters, and they actually played pretty well for the team they had.
Yeah.
But you can't use that all season.
That's hard for Des too, because in the past it's been outside forces that are motivating them. So it's like, you know, Brett Stewart's been stood down. This is, you know, this is wrong. We're going to show everyone. Yeah. But or even sometimes within the club when there are, you know, different factions, you know, board level. But it's like, well, mate, it's us against them. We'll show them. But when it's actually happening inside your club and your own playing group, that's really hard. Like, how do you then galvanise it? And obviously, I mean, you talked about bringing in guys like John Novak or whatever. That's different, isn't it?
Yeah. It's I don't know how you handle that situation, because from things I've seen and heard, there is a bit of a fraction in the dressing room over what happened. And I can understand it. I would have been filthy as a player trying to make the semi-finals with my team. That's my livelihood.
Yeah.
That you couldn't put aside a couple of stripes on a jersey to stand side by side with me and continue to strive for that goal that we set out at the start of the year. We all set out with the same goal. We put our beliefs aside. We've made sacrifices all year to try and achieve this one thing. And my fellow team member can't wear a couple of stripes on his shirt to back me up and go into battle with me. That'd be tough.
Someone like Kieran Foran too, who's been a big part of Manly, and he's leaving at the end of the year. And yeah, you know, I can imagine that. Very, very tricky to see how they manage this last month at Manly. So yeah, have your say. Some great talking points there, gentlemen. 1300 01 1170 is the way to have your say. Text line 0457 736 736. This is Crunch Time, brought to you by the Isuzu MUX. Certainly is. 1300 01 1170, the text 0457 736 736. Tweet at 1170SEN. Adrian Brzenko, James the Missile Magnus, and Joel Kane. As it stands right now, 33.33% recurring percent of us are Olympians. It's about to be 25%, in fact, 50%, because our man Simon Orchard from the dogs.com.au, home of Greyhound Racing, joins us. G'day, Simon.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. How you doing?
Am I right in saying that our Olympian tally doubles?
Yeah, it certainly does. Certainly doubles. I believe. I'm just trying to think here. Missile, what Olympics are you at, mate? London?
London and Rio. Simon, what about you?
Yeah, there you go. We would have rubbed shoulders with
teammates.
Each other. There you go.
Mm. Yeah, I thought I bumped teammate. Into you in that nightclub in London.
In the village at 4 a.m.
Where's the tattoo located, Simon?
No tattoo, but fun fact, boys, and Miss I would remember this. If you think back or if you Google Rio 9, I was actually a member of that
special
club.
Oh, you went to jail.
Wow.
Hang on.
Yeah. Okay.
There
we
go. Hang on.
That's a revelation. We've been talking about dogs the whole time. Yeah. This is far more interesting.
Next week.
Wow. True Crime Tuesday. We need to get you on that.
You
gee
and
whee.
Kitty Chiller. Whatever happened
Kitty
to Kitty?
Kitty. Oh, me, hell. Righto, Simon. Let's get your greyhound hat. I'll save you. Let's get your greyhound hat back on. What do we got this week?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Sugar. Look, mate, yesterday I went down to Goulburn for the presumed top maiden. So last week we had the Southern Stars series. Yesterday we had the Zoom top maiden, and it was taken out by Zipping Orlando for John and Minnie Finn. These are the youngsters, boys. So obviously maiden races, they ran in the heats last week, the final yesterday. So if you've got a black book, Zipping Orlando won, Rockstar Apollo was second, and Lend Me Dad was third. These are the dogs that in a year, 18 months, you'll see running around potentially $1 million chases and golden Easter eggs. So if you can black book them now, you should have a pretty good ride all the way through. Yesterday, as I mentioned, Zipping Orlando didn't jump too well, but surged to the front down the long, wide Goulburn straight. And Minnie Finn was a popular winner. So it was interesting. Spoke to Minnie after the race and said, what do you do now? Do you crack a bottle of wine or a scotch? And she said, nah, I just go home, put the dogs in the kennel and get the dogs out for tomorrow's racing and head off to Richmond. So that's it. That's the life of a professional trainer. Just move on to the next thing. But yeah, big day at Goulburn yesterday and a big couple of weeks down in the state south. So it's been pretty good.
Very, very good. I just can't get Kitty Chiller out of my head. Simon, we've got the pens ready. We haven't got much time here this afternoon, unfortunately. But what have we got? What are we backing today?
Yeah, we'll do it real quick. Wenty Park tonight, race 3, number 1, Spring Meteor is one of our best bets. So just jot that down, race 3, number 1. And then we've got two heats of the New South Wales National Sprint. So it's race 6 and 7. And we've backed two from the Lord Kennel. So race 6, number 7, Bandit Ned. He's drawn out wide. He loves it out there. 8 starts for 6 wins and a minor. Spoke to Andy Lord this week, the trainer, and he said he's ready to go. He's been waiting for a wide box, which is pretty different for the dog. So race 6, number 7, Bandit Ned. And then race 7, number 6, Coast Model, again from the Lord Kennel. Ran at Dapto 2 nights ago. Very odd to see it backing up 2 days later, but I've got to trust the Lord Kennel. They own She's a Pearl or look after She's a Pearl, so I think they know what they're doing. Race 7, number 6, Coast Model. And just quickly before I go, boys, since we spoke about box stats 2 weeks ago, we've had 22 races. One has had the most winners. Box 8 has had the next most winners. And box 6 hasn't had one in 22 starts. So hopefully that changes with Coast Model tonight.
Spring Meteor, box 1.
Yes, the Rio 9. Good on you, Simon. Great to chat, mate. We're going to run.
Hello, boys.
Thedogs.com.au, home of everything greyhound racing in New South Wales.
You know, Brandy's he's a great analyst of our game and one of the great players of our game. But I just don't know how you can come up with that comment to say that, single out one club to say they introduced that tackle into our sport. That's a little bit over the top. Because off the top of my head, I can't ever recall seeing Brandy at one of our training sessions. Now, I work with Brandy on, yeah, and he's a great fella, but to single out the Melbourne Storm, that's really unfair. Really unfair.
Yeah, Vossi, I will do it as respectfully as Cameron did yesterday, because he is a colleague, and I didn't think it was any type of revelation when I made those comments about the hip drop emanating out of the Melbourne Storm. I was actually surprised that Cameron was surprised that someone would actually think that the hip drop tackle started out of Melbourne. Now, I just thought it was general consensus that over the last 20 years, all the tackles, the wrestle techniques have come from Melbourne. Two of the first three charges in 2020 for hip drop tackles were Melbourne Storm players, Jesse Bromwich and Max King. The grapple, the chicken wing, the rolling pins, the crusher, the hip drop. I think they all emanated out of Melbourne.
Two more sleeps.
They'd be the same weight division too, wouldn't they?
Brandy and Vossi, Monday.
Yeah.
So that'll be on Brandy and Breakfast with Brandy and Vossi, Vossi and Brandy.
Wow. They do an hour with Cam Smith.
Correct.
The last hour is with Cam Smith.
Yes.
I
almost choked on my cornflakes because I did, my day was just starting and I had that on and I just said, I'm going to be filing early today.
Oh, yeah.
That was such a good stink to get into.
He's doubled down and that tripled down.
Well, I said to Missile on the break, I said, are you available to fill in for breakfast just in case on Monday? He said, no, I'm busy. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm standing by a wireless listening to Brandy take on Cam Smith. So,
hopefully, you know what happened?
Put a chicken wing on him or a rolling pin?
So, potentially, if Cam Smith's doing a Sunday Arvo or Sunday night game in Sydney, he could be in studio. The Channel 9 game on Sunday, oh, that would be great if they were both in studio.
I'll tell you who's doubling.
Tigers Raiders. He may be in Sydney.
I'll tell you who's doubling and tripling down. Matt Tripp, he's in France at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And my colleague Adam Pengilly got in touch with him to get his initial reaction. He sent him, I think, a copy of the story. And he gave him some comments which were in the paper today.
Yeah.
And then I sent him the audio so that he could actually hear it verbatim. And he just, his head almost exploded. He just
said,
yeah, he just said, like, you know, at least we're not an arrogant club. Oh. He said that Brandy has been giving it to us for 20 years, that he's got an agenda. He said that, obviously, because they play next week. I mean, it's going to be the greatest game of all time.
It's funny because I get a lot of messages from people saying Brandy puts the boot into the Bulldogs on his morning show, and it's nice to have a Bulldogs opinion. So Brandy's just firing
from the hip.
I liked Nick Davis this morning on the Mowers Club, and you went on there, Adrian, for a brief. He said, this is like a WWE wrestling event. So Brandy's there with the mic, charging into the ring comes Cameron Smith, right? Brandy comes back at him. Then all of a sudden the curtain opens. Matt Tripp comes running through. Who's next?
Oh, it's got to be, well, Vossi will take Brandy's side, I reckon.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
You reckon?
I think he's going to be the Mean Gene Okerlund. He's just going to be the referee in the middle to stay right out of it. It's going to be a beauty. But you know what? People are saying, how does this end? Does one of them reach out with a private phone call?
It won't happen before that game. I think I'm telling you, every locker in the Melbourne Storm dressing room will have some sort of a reference to this.
Yep.
Because it's not just a one-off. They feel, rightly or wrongly, that it's a sustained attack and that for 20 years, basically, Brandy has put every wrestling ill on their doorstep.
I wish Brandy had to come out and said something like that about Queensland and lit the fire there. It was very quiet about the New South Wales stuff, but that's a beauty. Love your work,
and
Brandy.
And Brandy doesn't, he's not a headline magnet either. He's actually quite measured, which makes it all the more sensational.
It was almost an accident at the start, but then when he came back to Cam's comments, oh, I hadn't heard that second one.
Yeah.
Doubles down, triples down, gives evidence, boom, boom, boom.
And it all started with a listener. So a listener rang up and poked the bear.
You're kidding.
He said, I heard Brandy say this, blah, 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 blah.
And, to Cam.
And then all of a sudden, this listener's just sitting back having the best week of his life. Wow. Meanwhile, rah! It's so people with champions, right, it's part of the makeup of being a champion, which you are yourself, James Magnuson. And I find with champions is, see, a lot of us would find ourselves in the situation like, okay, we're very uncomfortable with angst. Let's jump on the phone, sort it out. But sometimes with champions, you are so resolute in your beliefs.
Oh, yeah.
That you're not going to, well, have Too we got our man here? Well, this is, in the words of the great rugby league philosopher Tom Petty, I think this is how it'll play out. Won't back down. Don't you think? No one's backing down,
no way.
Yeah.
No way.
You know what the best part of it
There's
was?
There's no easy way out.
When Brandy actually listed all the tackles, that was the one I was slapping my thigh the best. He goes, the grapple, the chicken wing, the rolling pin, the crusher, the hip drop.
They all
emanated from Melbourne.
Yes.
What was the rolling pin again?
That's when a player's down on the ground and then you go in over the top with your knee and roll your knee into like the back of their calf or whatever. Stuff like that.
That's a good one. I don't remember that one.
It's a beauty.
You missed one. Wasn't there a prowler or something? You might have missed one. But anyway.
Who's your man who writes the speeches? He might have been involved.
Yes, it might have been a Dirk Milton production.
It was very good. Look, it was hard to argue with when he gave evidence of who'd been suspended earlier this year. How do you argue with that?
I know.
Yeah.
It's a beauty. So well researched, but as I said, two more sleeps and it's on again. Gloves are off here at SEN. 1300 01 1170 is a way to have your say. Speaking of said tackles, Brandon Smith on report. We called the game, he cops a fine, $1,800 fine, which he's going to accept. Of course he is. That last thing they need is this in the news. But to me, it was just a tackle. Did you see it, Adrian?
Yeah, I didn't think it was that bad. But it's interesting because we had Pat Carrigan during the week for a proper hip drop. And how much is that worth? And I was talking to Nick Gabar, who is basically defends basically every player in the game whenever they go to the judiciary.
Yep. He should have been on the Rio 9.
And when it comes to when it comes to these things, you can only use one comparable. And there was one earlier in the year with Tyrell Fuamiano on Hayes Dunster.
Oh, yeah, that was a bad one.
He couldn't use that one because it was in a preseason match. So the one that he chose. Yeah, so the one that he chose was one where Josh Maguire speared in on Josh Adokar last year. And like, it's a miracle that Josh Adokar wasn't maimed. Like, it was really bad because he was held up by other defenders.
Yeah.
And then he's come, and then Josh Maguire speared into it. And that was considered a grade three, which I think under the rules is only 2 weeks if you don't have any priors. So yeah, people say that Pat Carrigan was lucky to only get 4 weeks. But I think in some respects, he's a victim of all of the hoo-ha that's going on because, you know, to the letter of the law, that is not a worse tackle than the one that it was compared to. So whether that means they have to do another adjustment and say, we don't want this in the game and we need to turn up the frequency. But yeah, obviously it's a bad look.
I put the tin hat on. I go, Melbourne, they get the rub of the green every time. Bulldogs, eye gouge, 5 weeks. Storm, eye gouge, fine.
Nelson Asolofofana. That's
cracks all the teeth in that bloke's head and nearly drives him through to the South Pole. Fine. And now the week after Carrigan does it and every expert in the game comes out and says, we've got to get it out of the game. It's got to be gone. If you're coming in like that, it's so dangerous. But regardless of his intent, it ended up really bad. And Tino was within an inch of a season-ending injury. So I just thought, well, if Carrigan's 4 weeks...
Oh, so you did see the Brandon Smith one?
Yeah, yeah. I thought a week.
Gotcha.
At least a week. If Carrigan's four, then if Carrigan's on that end of the scale, it's not so far off the scale that it's not even a week.
But the difference is that Brandon Smith was first there and he was literally chasing him, wasn't he? Like, he wasn't... Carrigan, there was people already in on the tackle, so he's come in to try and help him down. For me, Brandon Smith was simply still trying to get a hold of the bloke. Very, very interesting.
I love transparency, but listening to Luke Padden try to justify why Nelson wasn't charged, that was a bit cringy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The separation and all that, mate. He elbowed him in the head.
Sometimes you've got to separate to smash someone's face.
Yes. 1300 01 1170 to have your say. Text 0457 736 736. I can guarantee every fan besides Storm supporters would agree with Brandy. It's going to be fascinating. Yeah. I totally agree with Brandy. And don't forget a couple of years ago when Cam Smith was interviewed and said that the wrestle was good for the game. Did he say that? I'm not sure. This is coming from the listener. I'm pretty sure it was an interview on SEN. As a Manly fan, I don't like the wrestling, the way the game has evolved down this avenue. But if Manly were starting the wrestling and having the success that Melbourne have had over the last 30 years, 20 years, I'd be all over it. I'm definitely on Brandy's side, Statsy from Freshwater.
People are taking sides.
They are. Yes, they are.
The thing is, Melbourne just do it better than everyone else. And everyone's playing catch-up.
Yep.
Afternoon, fellas. I'd back anything that comes out of Brandy's mouth any day of the week. I still haven't forgotten about what the Storm did to Nathan Kalis with the chicken wing all those years ago. Can we spend the rest of the show talking about the Mighty Eels, says Steve from Dubbo. No, we can't.
Please.
Sorry.
I don't have enough pool.
We've got three hosts this week that have all come off winning games. It may be the first time the three of us have been together and we've all won the last game.
Could be the last one for a while.
Wow. Gee, this is fascinating, this Tigers Knights game. Not so much from the Tigers' point of view, but...
Phantom O'Brien.
Well, no Hastings, no Brooks. Ooh, I know they've got no Ponga. What are you expecting? Are they completely unravelling for this? No Clemmer playing.
What about the whole... What a fiasco this Clemmer thing
seriously.
Is.
Seriously.
Like, honestly, like, so... It's now emerged that Clemmer sprayed the trainer, and I'm sure that happens a million times in an NRL season. Yep. And it wasn't the trainer who made the complaint, but somehow it's found itself in the HR department.
So it was not the trainer who made the complaint?
It was not Hayden Knowles, apparently, who made the complaint, right? So, but someone else has escalated the matter to the HR department. Yeah. And then all of a sudden the process has to happen. So they've stood him down, and there was talk, you know, there was even some talk that they were going to sack, you know, Clemmer. And then everyone's taken a breath and just gone, no, that's not going to happen. So he was actually at training yesterday, but he's not allowed to play this weekend. It's so
can you imagine? Can you imagine in a month's time, had he been sacked? And ladies and gentlemen, the 2022 Danny Badiris medalist, he's not here, but it's David Clemmer.
Yeah, like, he's already got it wrapped up.
Oh, he's going to win it for sure.
Yeah.
I did his numbers right. And
he's had a good season.
2017, he was a test player and an origin player, wins the Brad Fittler medal. And I broke down his numbers, and his form then to now is literally separated on average by one run a game.
Yeah. You know the funny thing I keep hearing about Clemmer, and Freddie said about him for Origin as well. I guarantee if Clemmer was a Queenslander, he would have been in that team forever. He was the man that stood up to the Queensland pack and brought back that sort of bravado for New South Wales. But every time it's his slow play the ball, doesn't fit our playing style, all that kind of thing. For Newcastle, let me give you a tip. It's more than one slow play the ball a set that's stopping you losers from winning a game. Clemmer's running for more metres than anyone in that team every week. He carries that forward pack.
Yeah. He looks fit too, doesn't he?
He looks great.
Yeah.
Have a look at his tackling. He's at 98% tackle efficiency. Yep. It's just about the highest in the NRL. The bloke does not miss a tackle. He makes close to 200 metres a game. He's an absolute weapon, but he gets a slow play the ball every now and then. And I saw them on 360 saying, sometimes he gets a slow play the ball because he struggles too much in the tackle. Oh, blow me down. A front rower struggles in a tackle. Like, heaven
forbid. The missile's fired up, ladies and gentlemen.
That is a Brandy-esque spray.
Yeah, I love it.
He wants it on the action.
Yes.
I love Clem. He's a bulldog at heart, I'm sure of it. I'd take him back in a second.
Well, as a Parramatta fan, I would have been very happy to see him packing down alongside the front rotation of Campbell, Gillard, Barlow, and then all of a sudden, Clem comes on off the back fence.
They would have been short price favourites to make the grand final if that had to happen. That'd be the most dominant forward rotation in the NRL.
Love it. I love it. Big fan of the general. I miss him on SEN, says Daniel from New Zealand.
Was he on SEN?
He was, yeah. And then when he took up the new gig, he had to withdraw a little bit there. I used to think Brandy was a flog. Now he's my hero. Says 171. This is great stuff.
Oh, it's good that Bossy's texting.
This is crunch time. All thanks to MUX. Oh, yes. I totally agree with this. This is all thanks to the Isuzu MUX. The missile, Adrian Brzenko, I'm Joel Kane. Missile, you are on fire. This has been the greatest opening 15 minutes of radio I've ever heard. Well, you know the best part, Steve, we've been on for an hour and 15.
Time flies when you're having fun.
You should have heard the 15 minutes between 10:45 and 11 last night, Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, exactly right. Jeez, missile will be unbearable if the Bulldogs ever get back in the eight. Yeah. Yikes, says Daniel from New Zealand.
I'll be partying in the streets of Belmore.
Would you say you're a dead set, like passionate, passionate Bulldogs?
Well, you know, I am.
Is your weekend affected by a win or loss?
Used to be.
Yeah.
My dad's definitely is.
Really?
Like the family's is. The Magnusons are.
Where did the Bulldogs sort of...
So they're from the Bankstown area.
Gotcha.
They are born and bred Bankstown area and played juniors in the area and everything. I used to be before I was a professional athlete myself.
Yes.
And when you've worn that hat and then you can step away from it a little bit and see they're just humans and you see sport in slightly different, in a slightly different way. And now it doesn't ruin my weekend, but it's been a really tough couple of years.
But do you still ride a match really hard?
Unbelievably.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of matches over the past month where I've been in here on crunch time. Mm. On the Sunday while the Bulldogs have been on the background.
Oh.
And I've got to walk out of the room at times because I'm...
Is that right?
You're Bellamy, back of the box.
Sock and Jules love it. Jules and Sock are the same. Jules with the Dragons and Sock with South. But yeah, I've always been a massive Bulldogs fan.
Okay, Bulldog George, speaking about Bulldogs, he said, guys, Smith definitely said wrestling was good for the game. on SEN when he was publicising his book. Only Storm fans and Queenslanders support Smith. Everything started with the Storm. Go, Brandy. Well, I'm just reading out what's coming through. So, yeah. Good afternoon, gents. Joel, I'm not sure how old you were when you played in the Penrith comp, but there was a kid growing up named Danny. I won't say his surname. He was very, very much the type of player you're talking about. I was talking about earlier about those gifted players, not so much high on work ethic, but athleticism, they're just superior at the time. I find that those players don't often end up with super consistent careers. He said, do you happen to remember him playing growing up? Cheers, Kano. No, I don't, Kano, sorry. No, I don't. We left there at about year nine. Sorry, when I was nine. Hey, James, what is your tip for the Missile Stakes in race eight? Your stakes at Randwick. Mm. Hope you're not one of the jockeys. Pity the poor horse.
Well, you should be able to give us a tip. We haven't got any tips off you today.
No.
A couple off our Rio 9 member.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
That's an absolute revolution. Revelation. I can't believe it.
Okay, I've got some tips. Embracer is who I'll be backing in that one.
Embracer,
yes. Embracer in that one. And Adelaide Race 7, Taunting. Western Australia Race 4, Brave Dream. And Brisbane Race 8, Garibaldi. I think Garibaldi might have been scratched last week. I love a horse that's been scratched and back, but I really love the Jesse Ramey underscore. I've been watching a lot of tape of the Dragons, boys. The relationship, both very good defenders on their own, Jack Bird and Hunt, but the relationship between Jack Bird and Hunt, they are just not on the same page. Cowboys carved them up last week. Your beloved Bulldogs carved them up on that right-hand side for them. So that's, I think, Jesse Ramey and scores. Absolutely scores. Good afternoon, Crunch Time, lads. And the Sook Dribbler Missile.
You know what that is? That's you do the Hello Sport Boys interview. So people that listen to Hello Sport are dribblers.
Gotcha.
Yes, so this is a fellow Hello Sport fan. Gotcha. I love Hello Sport as well.
Okay.
Another, so back at you, dribbler.
Yep. Another green with envy Storm hater. Maybe all the other clubs that try to imitate Storm should be getting extra weeks because they can't equal perfection. They do it wrong and we get blamed for it. Nice singing last night, Sugar, by the way. Money.
The ABBA?
Yes. Yeah, talking about Cameron Munster. Cheers and Arvo Bevies. Hillstorm, Maroon, Hillary. Darn, that I thought you kicked off at 1 p.m. That means I've missed an hour of Radio Gold. Well, not necessarily. Steve?
Podcast. Yes.
That's it. Absolutely right.
Listen to it twice.
Yeah, there you go. This one come through. How I do my push-ups, I start with 123. Then as soon as somebody walks by the door, it's 143. 144, Pete from Bexley says. You're on your Pete. You said that at 12 o'clock. You'd be up to about 1,000 by now. G'day, guys. The refereeing didn't help Manly's cause. Harper was held off the ball, and it should have been a penalty try. Parlayed. Yeah, that was actually a controversial moment, wasn't it? Parlayed all over the tackle play, and it was fine. Then the para try, that wasn't. Dud it again, the refs are crap. Cheers, says Rowdy Eagle Rod.
True Seagulls fan.
What did you think about that, the Harper no try?
Yeah, I watched that and I was listening to the way it was explained on the broadcast, and Harper was shepherding the ball, if that makes sense. I thought it was a fair jostle for the ball.
Yes, but what about, did you think he knocked it on? I wasn't sure. I don't have a strong opinion on it, but I thought...
I didn't think it was a try.
No, he didn't think it was a try. Fair enough. That's funny.
From an Eels fan to a Manly
fan. Yeah, isn't
it
funny? Exactly right. Rowdy Eagle is convinced it's a try, and you're convinced it's not. That's how it works. I'll tell you, it was a really good refereeing in the box last night. The try scored by Herman Essiesi for the Titans. Did you see that one? Went to the bunker?
No.
And it was probably a double movement. But as articulated by Adam G in the box, he said half his body ended up in the end goal. Mm. I mean, so clearly momentum
bit
was...
of common sense.
Yeah. And when your arm gets down and you're worried about it, you are going to naturally sort of respond in a way.
You're full brunt into that shoulder.
That's right. So that was very, very good refereeing from Adam G. Keen for the local derby tonight, playing for the I Wish I Never Let the Sharks... Left the Sharks, Jack Bird, Bird. Bird is the word. Oh, mama, mama. Cut from both of Ken.
That's good.
They're shot, aren't they, Dragons? Yes. Or do they get up for the derby?
No, I think they're gone.
Yeah,
still a good match though. Surely, bit of feeling.
Good match. Yeah, and Adam Dykes' son making his debut. He must be playing good footy if he has leapfrogged Lockie Miller.
That's what I was about to say.
Great debut game himself. So, because your Bulldogs were actually in the chase for young Dykes' Cade's
really?
Signature. Yeah,
we're in the chase for everyone at the moment.
Yeah, they were super keen to keep him, Sharkies.
Yep.
So whether the timing of that
bit of a probably reward. Thanks for being sold.
He is a fullback.
Yep.
spoiled at fullback then, because I thought Lachlan Miller was awesome. He ran for almost 300 metres, didn't he, on debut? Yeah.
He couldn't have done any more. So for him to be leapfrogged, he must be playing.
But he could be a handy pickup for Dolphins.
I'm going to make a bold declaration here. Oh, yeah, he could be, yeah. Bold declaration here. I'm going to say that Cade Dykes has a ripper month and the Sharkies, as a result, have a ripper month. And then you're going to start going, geez, what do we do with Kennedy?
Good problem to have.
Yeah, I think he's going to be... There's a bit of Brett Hodgson about...
You've seen him, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, there's a bit of Brett Hodgson about him.
Smaller.
Yeah, I saw a photo of him and Adam. Adam wasn't that small and he dwarfs him.
Oh, okay.
So he's lean.
Yeah.
Lean, quick, speedy, but got that bit of footy about him, like that sort of halfback playing fullback sort of type.
Yeah. And he'll fill out a bit too, won't
he? Yeah. I just think there's going to be a brand of football. Matt Moylan's a touch footballer. Nico Hines, an ex-touch footballer. Kay Dykes out the back. My hands are standing, but it feels a bit 2005 Tiger-ish.
Okay.
It's going to be an exciting brand, I reckon.
I was a little bit sheepish on the Sharks because they were missing Kennedy.
Yeah.
But now I might load up.
Yeah. I think it's a 20-plus job.
Is it? Isn't it?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting the fill-in fullbacks, like seeing Munster at the back. Like,
awesome.
Why didn't they do that from the start?
I'm not into fantasy football, but would he have scored like 10 billion fantasy football points last night?
Yeah. Like, would have been tries and grown men crying over that performance with joy.
Gee, that
didn't it feel like towards the end of the game, let's just chuck it to money. Let's see what he does. Yeah. And you wouldn't get away with it against a better opposition than the Titans, but he was just playing with them, wasn't he?
He was brilliant. He was so good. And I'm so glad they did that. I actually said on the Monday, they named him at six. I said, look, if you're fair dinkum, you have to have a blue chip fullback.
Yeah.
And they made him that. But then they had the situation where, Cooper Johns played well.
Mm.
Cooper Johns played well. Tyron Wishart was there.
And Jerome Hughes.
What's the latest? Do we know?
Well, we're not sure. I think he's getting scans on the shoulder, and I think he's heard it previously as well. So I think fingers crossed that it's not bad. But all of a sudden, like, do you keep Munster at fullback? Or I mean, if Hughes isn't there, I mean, you're going to have to put him into the halves, aren't
you? Yeah, well, that's what I thought. I mean, Cooper Johns was awesome. Tyron Wishart was great. But they're both Robins at this stage of their careers. There needs to be a Batman, you know. And
I thought you were referencing birds, and no. I was like, all right, so they're little
Robins,
birds.
Yeah. Well, I think I actually thought during the game they needed to put Munster to halfback just to have that Pied Piper.
Could you go Brandon Smith to hooker when he comes on and Harry Grant at halfback?
Maybe.
That's probably because I don't see Munster as a halfback. He just needs someone just to throw it to him when it needs to be thrown, and then he just does his thing. He's not an organiser.
It's fascinating. David Norfolum was good.
Yep.
He was good.
How do you feel about that? I haven't heard you talk about it, but don't care.
I actually, I've been pretty public about it early in the year that it was going to be a farce, and it has become a farce, because the reason I'm against it is you're taking the PI55 out of the salary cap. Really, to be able to have it this late.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you add Nofaluma, if he's on 500K at the salary at the Tigers, the Storm salary cap going into the finals is, for example, 9.5, not 9.
That's right. So could you have fit him into your cap in round one? And the answer is no. Then how is he now playing for? It ridicules the salary cap.
Surely with a CBA negotiation and Peter Vallandi saying, like, it's not good for the game. This will be the last year.
Of course it will be.
Yeah. It was there as a measure for COVID, like for those teams that, you know, couldn't field a team to loan and to also to help the Warriors. But it's,
a lot of people have the view that, you know, you've got 30 players in your full-time squad. Surely that's enough to go the journey.
It's part of the excitement of the season.
Yeah.
You've got to have luck to win a grand final. Now it's kind of taken that aspect out of it a bit. It's like, we've had some bad luck, but we'll fill that with first grade stars. Nofaluma's not a development player.
No.
But imagine being a development player and then just having, and you've waited all year and you've gone to every training session and then just having someone board over the top of you.
Yeah.
Oh, it sucks.
It's a little bit how you're going. But I'm supportive of the fact, and Tim Sheens, he basically said, well, look, he's been a bit stale. And I'm paraphrasing this is what I'm hearing, but he's been a bit stale. So get him down there to a good system, fire him up, and he might come back.
I think that's a really good observation by Tim Sheens on Nofaluma. I just wish he'd had that same revelation with Luke Brooks. Hands off our guy. He's our man.
Yeah, that's right. This is Crunch Time, all thanks to the Isuzu MUX. Yes, it certainly is. And Dometic, go on your next adventure, Dometic.com. Jimmy Smith just turned up with a little Austin. South take on the Warriors, he'll be calling that. Sunshine Coast Stadium, the venue. Spud Anthony Seibold will be joining the team there as well. The teams, they're not announced at 2 o'clock, so looking forward to that. After being named to return, Tane Milne. He was dropped 24 hours out before kickoff. Jackson Paulo's in the centre. New South Wales Cup leading try scorer Isaac Thompson. He'll replace Paulo and make his NRL debut on the Rabbitohs wing. Tom Burgess, of course, taking Ronaldo Militello's head off last week. He's suspended. Mark Nichols comes into the side. The other new face on the interchange is Blake Taff. I think he's a good player, Blake Taff. It's good to have him back into the side.
What's your line? What did you have this at?
Okay, yeah. Let me find
really
that
let
one.
Let the listeners test this out. Okay. I've tested it, Adrian. It works pretty well. Yeah, it works pretty well.
I've got the Warriors needing 14. The line's closer to about 17, I think, isn't it? Maybe even higher.
Let me find that for you.
As you do that, Ewan Aiken's been moved from back row to the centres in place of Adam Pompey, who drops to the reserves. Chanel Harris-Tavita is out with an injury. Wade Egan moves to hooker from hooker to number 6. Freddie Lussick has been promoted to start at 9. Aaron Penne, Bailey Sirenen and Jack Murchie all return in the pack. Now, the Warriors' last four games, they have lost 3 of the 4, but all 1-12. So, whilst I have the line set at 14, I think the value is South 1-12.
The Warriors are at plus 20.5.
Yep.
You like that?
I like the Warriors to push them.
There you go.
A lot of people expecting a shellacking.
Your Bulldogs have got them next week, haven't they?
Yep.
And it's over there. It's one of the few games in New Zealand we've had for a long time.
The Bulldogs have played a shocker this week.
Yeah.
Let's take a game to Bundaberg. Sure, that's great. Let's go to regional Far North Queensland and play a game of rugby league. Mm. Who should we play up in Far North Queensland? Let's go the Cowboys. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's good.
That's tough. So there'll be, I saw on the Bulldogs page, sellout crowd. And before, I just wasn't even looking that it was the Cowboys. I was like, geez, that's good. We've got some fans in Queensland, the Bulldogs. Mm. There won't be a Bulldogs fan in the stands.
No.
It'll be a Cowboys home game, essentially.
What year were you born?
91.
No, that's the last time they played in Bundaberg.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a doubleheader. A Lotto Cup. Remember the old Lotto Cup?
The Lotto Cup?
Yeah. Wow. Which was the old midweek knockout.
Is that a midweek?
Yeah.
Like an FA Cup?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the local sides could enter.
So you never really would have seen any of that,
never saw it.
Panasonic Cup.
Panasonic Cup.
My dad used to tell me about the AMCO.
Same thing. Yeah.
Midweek knockout competition.
Yeah.
So they played two games in a week.
No. So this was a doubleheader. This was just four teams arriving at Bundaberg.
Yeah.
You just play over the year and, there you go. Anyway, 1300 01 1170. Raiders take on the Panthers. Speaking about the early 90s, they met in the 91 grand final, the year you were born. Xavier Savage has been ruled out with an ankle injury. So that means Albert Hopewadi steps up as a new fullback.
Ricky is so off
chance.
That
won't happen. That won't happen. Jordan Rapana returns from suspension. So Albert Hopewadi will stay on the wing. Rapana will go to fullback.
You reckon?
Oh, 100%. Won't it, Adrian?
What's Chan's done to piss Ricky off?
Sign with another club?
Yeah, that usually does it.
Yep.
It's a bit of who went first, because Ricky dropped Chan's before he signed with another club.
Yep.
I'm watching Chan's play right now in the reserve grade. He still looks fit. I don't know.
Was the first time he did that way back when, was it Justin Hodges signed with...
Broncos?
Yeah. Was that
I remember that.
First time a really high profile. That was under Ricky, wasn't it?
It happened at the Mounties. So Michele Ravalawa, who was scoring a million tries a week for the Mounties, who were the feeder club for Canberra, and they were on their way to winning the comp, and he had signed with the Dragons.
So he refused to play him.
He had the audacity.
No, he got jettisoned to the Queanbeyan Blues.
Oh, you're kidding.
The Queanbeyan Blues are like, holy dude.
Yeah, good.
How good's this?
Is that a bit of a Tom Petty won't back down?
Yeah. Well, it was Tom Petty, all right. Mounties went into free falling. they were on their way to winning the comp. And they were.
That wound up nicely, fire. Didn't it?
Yeah, it did. We didn't even rehearse that. Adam Elliott, he hurt his hip against the Titans, but staying to start at lock. Star back rower Viliame Kikau has been ruled. He's been ruled out with a hip injury, which sees Chris Smith start in the second row and Sunia Taruva join the bench for his debut. Sean O'Sullivan is the new number 7. Jamin Salmon comes in the starting side at 5'8". Origin centre Stephen Crichton returns from that nasty... I can't believe he's back. We had Mark, a listener throughout the week, a doctor. He couldn't believe that he was back due to this nasty ear cut that he suffered against the Sharks. And Mitch Kenny is also back on deck. What are we tipping here, boys? I'm staying with Penrith.
Just one for the listeners. Again, we're watching this New South Wales Cup side. It's pissing down rain in Canberra. So I think that swings things in the favour of Canberra.
Okay. Yeah.
I tipped the Panthers, but yeah, look, it's everything to play for Canberra, isn't it? And like without the Panthers' first choice halves, it's, you know,
bit of feeling.
They shouldn't be playing semi finals.
They're going to get down and dirty.
They're getting all the favours here, aren't they?
Yeah.
If you want to play finals football, which they can, you need to be winning this game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's season on the line type stuff.
And it's not just their first choice halves. Like, so Kurt Falls isn't available for them.
It's so as well. To go. It's their third string.
So they've got Sean O'Sullivan and Jamin Salmon in the halves.
Mm. Okay.
Jamin Salmon's hardly played any NRL over the last few years.
Yeah, interesting.
But around the grounds we go in the Knock-On Effect Cup. 7.5 gone in the second half. South Sydney 12, Canberra 6. South Sydney 12, Canberra 6. And as you mentioned, Charles Nicol-Klukstar is playing in this match. So too Tane Milne, I understand. So South Sydney with the try conversion lead at this stage. Sharks take on the Dragons. Sellout tonight at Shark Park. Cade Dykes. Isn't this remarkable how a third-generation player for the first time happened last week to play at the same club? That was the Fulton family. And a week later, the same thing happens. Cade Dykes debuts at fullback in place of Will Kennedy, which I think is going to be a massive success. He's got 5 to 6 weeks on the sideline after ongoing ankle surgery. Dykes' father Adam and grandfather John also played for the Sharks. Adam gave him his jersey yesterday. No change to the squad in Friday's 24 update with Royce Hunt dropping off the reserves list for the Dragons. Billy Burns drops out of the side on Friday. Veteran Josh Maguire, he'll start in the side. Michael Molo recorded the bench for his first game since round 16. Fullback Cody Ramsey is expected to be back on deck in round 22 after he did a knee injury. He did the splits effectively. The Dragons have only won 2 from 11 against top 8 opposition in 2022.
This is lining up for you.
Yep.
It's interesting what Tyrell Sloan, a fullback on the bench. So they've got Moses Mbai in the number one jersey.
Welcome to the Bulldogs, Tyrell.
Yeah.
You take him?
I'd take him. I think he's a great player.
Yeah, he's a good player.
I think someone will snap him up. Again, Redcliffe.
Is this the first time Cameron McGuinness has played against his former club?
Could be.
Yeah, could be. You could be right there. Make your next adventure effortless with the Dometic Go collection. Just pack, stack, and go. Brandy's a bullfed. Looking forward to Monday. Lots of love, Cam. Yeah. it's really funny, Cam, that you send that in because every other time you've texted, if we look at your history, you call yourself Mort. So that's suddenly changed. Thank you, Cam. But we look forward to you and Brandy's battle on Monday. So those texts continue to come through. 1300 01 1170. Brooksy, Sack Joel going against the Dragons. You'll be hearing from me on Monday, Sugar, when the Dragons smash them tonight. Big Sexy. Oh, great to have your company, Big Sexy. 0457 736 736. This is Crunch Time. All thanks to the MUX Isuzu.
Follow Crunch Time on Dabble. Go on, have a dabble. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Well, the winning continues for the Crunch Time team, Sats. Another win last night and same game multi last week. $7 there and another one on Sunday.
So you just keep rubbing it in each week, don't you? I learned something yesterday that the Crunch Time team is made up of experts, okay? So I'm really up against it. But this weekend, I'm really confident that I can at least get back into the winner's circle because it's been quite embarrassing the last few weeks.
You know I'm on your side, Sats. I'm the one that's here with you every week. I'm the one running through them with you. You know, I'm with you, okay? I just have to tell the people that the Crunch Time team have been on fire. Another man that's doing pretty well, Trevor Gilmeister, he's been doing some really special stuff. Thursday night, he had 198 dabblers copy his rocket bet, and 7-7 hit a 67 same-game multi on the Eels-Panthers matchup. So some good results in the dabble community. But should we run through the Crunch Time team bets?
Yep, let's go for it.
All right, South Sydney Rabbitohs, they're going to win by over 6.5. Canberra Raiders to get up over the Panthers, which is where they're adding some value. And the Cronulla Sharks, that one paying 383. Any thoughts there?
Well, pretty much following the same sort of betting line this weekend, actually, which is a good thing for me if the Crunch Time team has been so successful over the last few weeks. So, yeah, I think this weekend we could see a couple of potential blowout scores. I've gone with South Sydney also, but to win by 13-plus over the Warriors. Ooh. That's a home game for the Sunshine Coast for the Rabbitohs. The Canberra Raiders declared an upset over the Penrith Panthers head-to-head. Cronulla Sharks head-to-head against the Dragons, the Battle of the Shire. And then just to round it out tomorrow, the North Queensland Cowboys, who have one of the best defensive records in the comp. Even though it's an away game, they haven't got great success in Sydney. I'm saying they're going to beat the Bulldogs by 13+.
Really? You're that impressed by them at the moment?
Yeah, I am. I really think they could win the comp. I mean, I foolishly at the start of the season thought they'd get the wooden spoon, but they've proved me wrong, and I'm glad they've proved me wrong. I'm a big fan of their coach and their staff, and they've proven this year that defensively they're one of the best teams in the competition. So, yeah, I think this back end of the season they'll start to make a bit of a point.
Yeah, awesome stuff there. And I should mention as well, the English Premier League, obviously, off to the start. Are you a fan of the Premier League?
I follow it vicariously through our son, Jack, who's a mad Liverpool fan. He'll wake up at all hours to watch Liverpool. So, yeah, I live vicariously through him. So I've got to say, I'm a Liverpool fan just from...
Yeah, well, good news is, of course, they'll be the first game to kick it off tonight, and we've got some dabblers that have been giving their tips about the season and what they're thinking for their multi. So plenty to check out there on the Dabble app. Also, I should mention as well, if you're loving the fact that the Crunch Time team have been on fire, not only have they got that multi that we just ran through stats, they've also got a scorers multi, which you can check out. All you have to do is download the Dabble app, follow the Crunch Time NRL team, who have literally been on fire. There's no other word to describe it. You can copy those bets with one click. And the man that's going to bounce back, you can follow him too. Stats 13. I'm confident in your statsy boy. So go on, have a dabble. Dabble socially and gamble responsibly.
Enjoying Crunch Time Banter? Check out Dabble Banter channels and copy Crunch Time bets. Go on, have a dabble. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Yes, Crunch Time brought to you by Isuzu. The Isuzu D-Max is born to tow. Big love to Big Sexy. Hope he's going well. Sugar, pass on all the best to him from the SEN family, says Paramat. Yeah, great to have Big Sexy back on the text line. Sugar, Missile, Adrian and Brooksy. Brooksy's not here. Ray 6, number 8. Leo at Randwick, go you good thing, says Rooster Muzz. Okay, thank you very much.
Do we trust Rooster Mars? Decent mail?
I don't know what his Uber rating is when it comes to tipping.
Yeah, okay. We've got to get that going.
Coming up very, very shortly, South Sydney taking on the Warriors. Jimmy Smith ready to call the action. Anthony Seibold in the house and Spud Carroll. So looking forward to the call with the boys. Then from 5:30, you've got the Queensland Cup. Mackay Cutters versus the CQ Capras. Central Queensland Capras, Drury Forbes and Ryan Hanson will have the call there. 7 p.m, the Commonwealth Games, day 9, Julian King hosting that. And don't forget Crunch Time back on again tomorrow. 1 p.m. tomorrow, Jaleesa Apps, James Professor Rochford and Stevie O'Keefe. 12 o'clock, by the way, we do have the team at good... That's just alluded to me. Hello Sport.
Hello Sport.
Hello Sport. Yes. The boys at Hello Sport who are doing wonderful things. And you're a big disciple.
Yeah, I love it. Very funny stuff. Don't go to them for like rugby league knowledge, but humour.
Yes.
Spot on.
Excellent, excellent. What's on today, boys? What's happening?
Oh, I might get down to Bondi for a bit of a swim, then a nap.
What does a little bit of a swim mean for you? Is that
just a dip, just jump wet. In and out.
Yeah.
My missus is the swimmer now. She's swum from Bondi to Bronte around the heads.
Has she always been a swimmer?
No.
Oh, right.
She just moved to Bondi and decided she's a swimmer.
Right. Have you sort of got into the coaching of...
Of her?
Yeah.
I've given some technique tips before, but they haven't stuck.
No.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute.
Adrian's
is she
gone.
Receptive to
is
the...
Is she receptive? Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. As with anything, it probably depends how the feedback's given.
Right. What are you tipping? Have you got a play today? You like to have a bit of a dabble in the rugby league?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm on your boys now, the Sharks.
Yeah.
At the line.
Yep, I'm going to go pick your own like line, minus 21.5 and a real shellacking.
Oh, big.
So I keep saying the Bird and... Hunt relationship on the left-hand side. It's just not on the same page. Ramien, Nakora, you're thinking about those guys. Sorry, Adrian, you were saying?
No, I'm looking forward to a fairly quiet Saturday night after my festivities.
As opposed to last week.
Yes. Is there part of you that feels like you have to have a few wines anyway just to celebrate the week milestone?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. When I said quiet ones,
The milestone of a big night.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never heard that before.
Well,
that's
it's
good.
You leave crunch time, you get the same memories of what happened last week.
I mean, yeah. So
it'll be more subdued.
When you get to a Saturday, you're probably always at the milestone of one night in your life.
But, but it's also the end of my working week. So after I finish this, I'll follow a couple of yards and then I'm done.
Oh, you're done. Nice. That's nice.
Maestro, what's happening, brother?
I got a big night, Joel. I have no social life at the moment because I'm in here with Jimmy Spud Siebes, which will be great fun for the first NRL game. And then I'm with Julian from 7 to 11 tonight.
Holy moly.
So I got a massive
This is the hardest working man at SEN.
Yep.
And the amount of research he does before these game stints about sports that none of us know anything about.
No, that's right.
Wait, did you get caught out? What was the hardest one? What did you get, like, you know, squash or something that you just knew absolutely nothing about?
We went live across to the triples in lawn bowls and had to commentate it for like 20 minutes.
Did you?
Yeah. Wow. And these Pommy blokes were dead set, 50 kilos overweight, big Devon patches on their heads.
Beautiful.
Just, I didn't know how to call it. It was bizarre.
Was it champagne radio? We should have a little bit of
basically just me slagging off their physique.
Oh, that's just beautiful.
20 minutes.
Gentlemen, we've made it. We've made it. Adrian, you've got the end of the week. The checkered flag is all yours. Well done to Maestro. All the best tonight. And the missile. Congratulations on the new gym. Tribe 2020-04. Plenty more still to come. The rugby league on the other side of this.